The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everybody. We're back to have a look at the Premier League weekend in the company of Ron Atkinson, Robbie Savage and Derek McGovern. You all well?
Yeah, great to be here.
Robbie, you're sitting comfortably?
Yeah, why?
After last week?
Oh, yeah.
I know you probably forgot already, banished it from your mind. Yeah. We haven't spoken about it, Robbie. The backside challenge, Battle of the Backsides, Alan Shearer won.
Yeah, I got the world record, though. More seats in a minute.
Yeah, which you're going to be in the Guinness Book of World Records, which is good going.
It was the worst week of my life.
It was the worst week of my life, man.
Honestly, it was the worst, hardest thing I've ever done.
How many days was that?
5 whole days. We started Monday morning at 7 o'clock. We finished 6 o'clock Friday night. People don't realise how hard it was, but I watched Davina McCall's last night, and I'd have rather done that one. I'll be honest with you, because you think sitting on the seat, monotonous, boring.
Yeah, you
did that for 90 minutes every Saturday.
I was just going to say, how do you think David Fairclough felt?
Anyway, I got a great story for you quickly.
Go on.
I was at John Arson's golf day, and I had some great stories about Ron. Dean Saunders was telling them, and the one about Bobby Gould. So I'm going to keep it short. If I mess up, bear with me. So basically, he was saying, when Bobby got the manager job of Wales, we were all sitting in dinner, and he put this video on. This guy from Manchester doing the video analysis, and like he bent down and he had his builder's bum, and it was like, oh, it was so, you know, amateur. So Bobby's come in and he's put Brazil on the screen, and he's gone, look, this is, they all wear the same kit, you know, Nike, all the beautiful training kit. Look at the pitch, he said, they cut the grass the same with the stadiums to make sure that we're in preparation for the World Cup. Everything's done properly. He was saying the training kit, the grass is even the same. He said they all sit for dinner. Everything is perfect. That's where we want to go. So he said, Mark Hughes, do you want to go there? So Spark, he's looked round and put his hand up and said, yeah, Bob. So he said, who else wants a piece of that? We're going to be as professional as them. We want to be like Brazil. And all the lads are looking around. Anyway, so he's gone on. Speedo put his hand up. Giggsy put his hand up. Anyway, he said, right, let's go and fucking train. Who wants a piece of that? So as we go to train, the bus didn't turn up.
Tremendous.
You can imagine them all stood there waiting, going. Let's start with Chelsea versus Arsenal, shall we? 12:45 kickoff. Nice way to start the weekend. All the chat, of course, about Arsene Wenger's 1,000th game in charge. We've had a question actually on Twitter. A guy called @PG_Arsenal on Twitter, a big Arsenal fan, wanted us to pick our all-time Wenger 11. We haven't really got time for that, but maybe we'll have like your favourite three Wenger players during his reign. It'll be easy for Derek, that one. Let's have a look at the game first of all, though, while the guys are thinking about that. Chelsea 10-11 to win this one at home, and Mourinho, of course, never lost a home league game in charge of the Blues. 21-10 the draw. Arsenal priced up at 7-2. In terms of the current form, well, as we know, Chelsea are top. Arsenal are 4 points back with a game in hand. Arsenal beating Tottenham last time out, and in a fairly good display, a good defensive display anyway. And they've only had one defeat now in the last 5 games. That was against Stoke, including the 1-1 draw in Bayern Munich. Chelsea rolled over Galatasaray with a minimum of fuss on Tuesday night, and it's all about winning the games now, Ron, I guess, for Mourinho. Can Wenger has got a rotten record against Mourinho. Mourinho's never lost a game against Arsene Wenger as an opposition manager.
No,
won 5 and drawn 5.
Yeah, and I think Arsenal, was it 2 years ago when ABB was manager, when they won about 5, didn't he? He got a hat-trick, didn't he, Van Persie?
Yeah, yes.
I remember when John Terry was treading in treacle.
That's right. Yeah.
Right, I'm going to be first on the block. I'm going for an Arsenal win.
Whoa!
Apple cart job. I'm telling you, 1,000 game, ready to celebrate. What would give him greater pleasure in his 1,000th game than to wreck Mourinho's record? Yes, neck on the line. 1-2. Arsenal.
Wow, that is straight in there. 2-1 Arsenal is 14-1, by the way. Robbie, it would fit, wouldn't it? You know, his 1,000th game, all the build-up and all that. I mean, even Mourinho might say some kind words about Wenger, and he hasn't got many. And in terms of team news, I mean, no Ozil, no Wiltshire, no Ramsey still. Oxlade-Chamberlain should be fit. He picked up a bit of a calf problem in that Spurs game. At full strength, Arsenal, you could give him a shout here. Can you give him a shout with those players missing against Chelsea?
No, I think Wenger's, you know, his record against Mourinho isn't great. Well, not great at all. Tactically at the Emirates, I thought he got his spot on with the way he played, and I think they'll go up the bridge and I think they'll win 2-1. So I think reverse of Ron's results, I got to go Chelsea 2-1.
That's 15-2. You could back the 2-1 either way, I suppose. Derek, Chelsea's team news: no Willian, no Ramirez, and Ramirez is a pretty big loss for them because he's a bit of an unsung hero in this Chelsea side, isn't he?
Well, is that really? Is he an automatic first choice?
Ramirez? Sure,
yeah.
Oh, definitely.
You reckon?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Well, I remain to be convinced by Ramirez. So. Full of energy, but not my kind of player. There aren't many in the Arsenal team that are my kind of player, and I think Chelsea are absolute certainties to win this one. They haven't conceded a goal in 2 matches against Arsenal this season. They won't concede this weekend either. I don't care about Arsene Wenger's 1,000th game. Does that make Arsenal suddenly play a stone better? No, it won't. And they need to play a stone better to beat Chelsea. I think it's an absolute certain home win.
There's a couple of specials. I mean, these are only like daft specials, but they've put out these 1,000-1 bets, of course. Wenger to stand on the touchline in his full Arsenal playing kit. So that's shirt, socks and shorts. 1,000-1. And this one, this is probably, this should be 1,000,000-1. Wenger to bring himself on as a player against Chelsea.
How about an Arsenal player to be red carded and Wenger to see it?
That's just them having a bit of fun. What about this question then, guys? Your favourite 3 Arsenal players under Wenger?
Easy.
Go on,
Bergkamp, Henry and Robert Pérez.
Yeah. Bergkamp's one of your favourite players of all time.
Best players who played in the Premier, Bergkamp.
Robbie, you'd have played against a lot of players under Wenger, of course. Yeah. Three favourites who you played against, maybe?
Well,
you don't have to be, but I've just thrown it in there.
Personal experience. Overmars absolutely buried me when I was playing right back for Leicester. Overmars, Henry, Bergkamp.
Yeah, fair enough.
For me, but for top of the list, Henry. Second is, without a shadow of doubt, Vieira.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him.
Yeah. Patrick Vieira. I might even go Pires. I like Pires. I thought Pires was a fabulous player for a while.
Wouldn't you have Bergkamp then, Ron?
No, fully enough. I never held Bergkamp in quite the esteem that a lot of people didn't.
Really?
Yeah. I thought he was a very good player. But you talk in terms of games he's had against you, you know. I don't remember him dominating many games that I've had teams involved in. Bergkamp. I tell you what, you might not be far off going for somebody like Tony Adams.
Yeah, you forget like someone like him.
Yeah.
Lee, I'll change my three. Mine's got to be Vieira, Bergkamp and Henry.
Yeah.
You know what?
You can have more. I only picked 3 because, you know, you can have as many as you want.
I'm going to show my ignorance on Vieira. I know he gets plaudits everywhere. You know, everyone who comes up against him says the hardest player they've ever played against. But as a fan, not as a professional like you two guys, as a fan, he never set the pulse racing. He never did the pretty things, did he? It was just the ugly things, and that's not, you know.
Yeah, he had that very bad habit as well, winning it and giving it to his own team very quickly and accurately, which is crap, really, in the modern game.
I'm sure it's important, Ron, but does that win you games? I mean, it's the Bergkamp and Henry that win you games.
I'll tell you what, now, if he was in their team now, the Vieira of like the 90s or the late 90s, they'd be top of the league.
Yeah.
They'd be top of the league now because not only would he stop the opposition from breaking through, he'd make sure his own get out. I would say it would be a toss-up who was the best of that type that's ever played in the Premier, either him or Keane. Mm. I think that's a toss-up. I think it's terrific. Most people, you're right in what you've picked. Most people pick the 3 you've picked. Most people have picked Bergkamp. I just didn't quite... I don't know, we played against him at Inter Milan as well. He was never quite the player that... I tell you, never rated him, you know, Fergie.
Didn't he?
No, Fergie had this thing about him. Never did it in the big games.
He doesn't rate Steven Gerrard, Fergie, does he? And
Jordan Henderson.
And he thinks Phil Jones is the best Man United player ever, potentially. Jesus Christ.
Let me tell you, given half a chance, he'd have snapped Gerrard up at any given time. Yeah.
Not a top player, though. Not a top player goes to Fergie.
That is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, I think, because he would have moved heaven and earth to get... You know, and I might be wrong. I should have omitted Gerrard, but I should have included him in that Vieira equation.
I mean, we've pretty much done the 11 there, pretty much. With the defence, you mentioned Adams. You could put, I guess, what, Campbell, Seaman, Cole?
Yeah.
Would be in the defence, wouldn't they, I guess? Campbell, I suppose there's a few Seaman. More you could chuck in there. Nice. Very good. So that's that one answered. Just to recap on the result, Chelsea 2-1 for you, Robbie. Arsenal 2-1 for you, Ron, and Chelsea just to win.
Yeah. Go on, then. Who was the first manager Wenger played against in this country?
Got to be you, is it?
No, I was the second.
To be fair, Ron was the first winning manager he played against.
Yeah, but he had to be there 10 years because he certainly didn't win any debut.
Howard Kendall?
No.
Playing guy, was it?
It was Ray Harford.
Ray Harford?
We could have been here all day.
Blackburn Rovers.
All year, never got that. Very good.
And his first game was against the Highbury, was against us, yeah.
Mm, yeah. We won't do any kind of how great has Arsene been, because you can read your paper and watch telly to get all that. I think we've spoken about him enough in the past to know his impact.
Does anybody watch? Here's one for you, Derek. Do you watch a programme on a Sunday night called The Musketeers?
No.
By the way, he was in it last week, Vinnie Jones.
Oh, yes, I did see the end of it, yeah.
Yes, but I tell you what, if you have a look, Cardinal Richley is a ringer for Wenger.
Oh, is he?
I'll have a look at that. Cardinal Richley, is
I'm trying to think, he's quite a well-known actor. I'm trying to think which one he is. He's a well-known actor that plays the part.
I'll tell you what,
he plays Doctor Who as well.
Yeah, Peter Capaldi,
Cardinal
Richler. Yeah, I'll have a look at him.
Brilliant. So a straight Chelsea win for you, Derek.
Definitely.
Very good. Let's have a look at the next TV game. This is on Saturday evening, and it's West Ham versus Manchester United. 7-2, the Hammers. 21-10, the draw, and Manchester United are priced up at 10-11. Of course, getting through in Europe, 3-0. If you're an optimist, that's a corner turned. I suppose if you're a pessimist, you'd probably say that Olympiacos are one of the worst teams in the Champions League this season.
I heard Tony Gale on Sky this morning saying they were like a championship side. I'm having that. That's ridiculous.
Olympiacos? That's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Ridiculous
statement. You can't be a championship side to get to that stage in the competition, can you?
Ridiculous.
It's a bit of both, though, Robbie, I suppose, isn't it, with United? You know, very good performance that they need. Well, you know, very good performance to get through. And it should really propel them onto a little bit of a run, but you can't be that confident with United at this season, can you?
Well, I think it's a great bit here. Listen, I've got a bit of stick for on Match of the Day when Gary asked Alan, would you take Lambert or Rodriguez to the World Cup? And then when he come to me, I went Andy Carroll. The reason I said that is because neither of them three would start, right? And if in 20 minutes, you know, international football is completely different from Premier League football, that it's, you know, the top-class defenders, you know, they don't expect somebody like Andy Carroll, you know, the Italians, the Spanish, you know, the Germans, you know, they won't play somebody against... like Andy Carroll every week. So I was just saying it because if he can stay fit from now to the end of the season, he scores a few goals, 15 minutes left in the game, if you put Andy Carroll on, Lambert or Rodriguez, I know playing against him, you know, you'd rather not play against Andy Carroll if he's fit and scoring goals. So I think I'd take Andy Carroll. I've got hammered on Twitter, but listen, who gives a f***? I'm going to go for Andy Carroll to score, but United to win.
Interesting one.
I think Lambert's a better player than he's given credit for. I think Lambert has got a lot of the Teddy Sheringham thing about him. He's a far more intelligent player than he's given credit for. He's certainly a better finisher than Carroll. I know what Robbie's saying, but are we going back 200 years when you say let's wang it in the box and see?
No, only if there's something different for 10 minutes left. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because if Rooney studied, for instance, aren't getting much luck, what's the chance of Lambert getting any luck?
Well, I think Lambert's a very technical player.
So is Studdage and Rooney.
Well, yeah, but let's be fair. They're not going to play out there. The games aren't going to be played high tempo. And the one thing you say about Lambert is he ain't quick. So they're not going to be high tempo games, but they're going to be games where you need your strikers to be able to control the football. And I think Lambert's intelligent enough. Of the two, I would take Lambert.
Yeah.
In an ideal world, I wouldn't take either of them.
Nice lad, isn't he?
I don't know him. Never met him.
Yeah, nice lad.
I think he's done terrific the way he's come through the Bristol thing and all that and battled through the divisions. But was it last year we saw him play against Man City and I weren't half impressed with his movements.
The way first he game of the season, wasn't it?
Clever little, he took clever little positions, got between defenders. Yeah, I think he's a very bright player, mate.
West Ham, Man United, you're going Carroll to score, Man United to win. That's 7-2, Robbie. Yeah. What do you say, Derek?
Well, I just can't have West Ham.
Two of your favourite teams,
well,
yeah?
Yeah, I know.
You know, both get beat.
Well, yeah. Remember, Fergie's pet hippo, Sam Allardyce, used to roll over for him. I just can't back West Ham. Man United are odds on. I'm trying to work out a reason for supporting them.
Do you know what, Robbie? I'd love to be in some sort of function with Derek in it and Sam comes up.
Rob, there's a few people I've got, but there's a lot of people I've got to avoid. Principally you two.
I'd say, hey, Sam, come here, mate.
Don't you dare.
To be fair, Rob, if we were at a function with Derek, we'd have to let him in the VIP, but...
You'd be waiting on tables with me.
Yeah.
You know what, Man United.
You say that about West Ham, Derek. But you look at the results, right? Two-two draw at West Ham last time. 2-2 draw in the FA Cup. Lost 4-2 to Man U the year before in the Premier League. Beat them. They lost that 4-0 defeat in the Premier League before that. Won 2-1 before that. It's not like they get spanked every time.
No. I'll give you that one. At Old Trafford. And that wasn't all under Sam, by the way.
No, it wasn't.
United 10-11, it's hard to back them at odds on away from home. But then you look at they've won more away games this season in the league than Chelsea and Liverpool. So maybe away from Old Trafford, maybe they're feeling, you know, they don't feel, well, they feel a bit more at ease.
Three clean sheets in a row as well, away from home.
I just think United, no matter how poorly they're playing, are a massively better side than West Ham. And I'm going to go for them.
What are they to win to nothing?
Man U. Yeah. 15-8. That's Man U only team to score.
I think United 2-0. I'll go United 2-0.
Yeah, which is the scoreline that beat West Brom by, wasn't it? Crystal Palace by beat West Brom 3-0.
Yeah, they've got three clean sheets on the bounce.
15-2, that is. 15-2.
I'd go that 2-0.
And Derek, what are you going for?
Man United to win. It's the same price as the Chelsea game, isn't it? The Chelsea-Arsenal game, 10-11. United to win this one.
Sunday's TV games start off with Tottenham versus Southampton. 5-4 Tottenham, 2-2 on the draw, 5-2 the price for Saints, who we've just been talking about. So you wonder if those England hopefuls are, that's all they've got on their mind, impressing every twist and turn. Go to White Hart Lane, which is a nice big stage for them. Tottenham, good draw in Portugal. Maybe could have got more if that penalty had been given. Then you never know, they could have gone on and got something out of it. But a good draw anyway with a weakened team. Well, I haven't won a game now in the last four. Southampton beat Palace and beat Norwich 4-2 last time out. Is it too trite to say that, Derek? Do you think that the England hopefuls are just maybe can take Southampton to a win here?
Well, Ron's been talking them up. I thought there was every reason for Southampton to take the foot off the gas, but they're not showing any of that at all, are they? I think they're incredibly short to win this game now, 5-2. I don't think that's given anything away at all.
You'd have hoped for at least, 4-1?
Yeah. I mean, they were 5-1 to win at Liverpool earlier in the season when I went for them big time and they did the business, but they were playing above the ground then. They're not quite the same Saints this time around. I'm going to give Tottenham another chance. They've cost me more money than anybody this season, Tottenham. But I just think maybe from what we saw on Thursday, maybe Sherwood's ranting and raving has done the trick. I think there's a bit more to come from Tottenham. I'm not sure if it is from Southampton.
Well, maybe it did the trick, Robbie, with the second string players. I know it wasn't a full second string side, but maybe they're listening more to the manager than some of the stars are.
Yeah, I think it'll be a draw. I'm going for a 2-2 draw. I think there'll be goals. So many attacking options on both sides, so I'm going to go for a draw, 2-2.
Yeah, 2-2, 16-1. A score draw, any score draw is 16-5. Ron, which way do you go?
Well, I tell you what, I think you're right about the odds. I'd be going in Southampton's corner. Mm. But I'd like a bit more encouragement price-wise. But, hey, you know, they've had a clear week again. They've been travelling out to Benfica to play the game, albeit they changed a few. But what they played now, they played Sunday and Thursday, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
Not playing well. I mean, he's talking them up as if that was the result. I see there's a quote, now watch the rest of the league fear us. Because they've gone and got a nondescript 2-2 draw. You know, it's... I fancy Southampton. I think if Southampton are in the mood, and what, you know, they turned it on. They did ever so well at Sunderland, I thought, when we saw them on telly. Certainly they played well last week, although nearly chucked it away at the end. Yeah, I fancy Southampton.
Mm. Despite all the kind of trials and tribulations this season, Tottenham have got the fourth highest points haul after 30 games of a Premier League season. They've got 53 at the minute. That's two short of their best ever, 55, and one fewer than this stage last term, 54. So they're on track. You know, they're about at par, really, for what they've been doing the last few seasons, in fifth position, 7 points off Manchester City.
Which might just suggest how ordinary they have been.
Mm. Yeah, with all that money spent. Southampton are 8 points behind them, by the way. Next game and the final TV game of the weekend, top billing goes to Aston Villa versus Stoke. 6-5 Villa, 11-5 the draw, and Stoke are 12-5. A few weeks ago, this one would have been a big old relegation six-pointer. As it is, one of these two teams could secure safety if 37's your magic number, with a win. Villa on 34, Stoke on 34, 10th v 11th. Minus 6 on the goal difference for Villa and minus 12 on the goal difference for Stoke. I just wonder, Ron, if it'll end up being a draw with both teams inching towards safety.
Yeah, can Villa win three home games on the bounce?
Very impressive, weren't they?
Pardon?
They were impressive last time out.
I mean, against Chelsea looks after itself, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, a match of that magnitude. But, I think I'm going to go with them. Although Stoke have got some sort of a track record, haven't they, Villa Park?
I've seen four draws in the last 5 seasons.
That's what I mean, particularly in Pulis's. Didn't they come back in a game from 4-0 or something? Somewhere at the back of my mind, I think it might have been Martin O'Neill was there. I'm going to go for, and the hope he pays off this bloody week. You know, you say the most popular score is 2-1.
Yes.
I'm going to go Villa 2-1.
Right. So you're pinning this on me now, then? That's the way this works.
Yeah. I've tried every other system.
8-1, the price for Aston Villa to win 2-1.
Yeah, and Benteke to score. What's any difference with that?
Benteke to score. I'll have a look at that. He'd have to put it in as him to score the first one in a 2-1 win. That comes out at 35-1. He's tempted already.
Does he have to get the first goal?
Yeah, he does in that one, yeah.
The first goal in the match or the first goal for Villa?
First goal in the match, he has to get there.
First goal in the match.
Interesting, though, yeah.
How much more is it for a penalty as well?
I can't make that bet up.
Okay.
We'd have to ask for it. Derek, Villa v Stoke?
Well, it looks all over a draw to me, this one. Four of the last 5 times at Villa Park has finished in a draw. And I think you're right, Lee. I think both sides will look at it. Both managers will look at it and think, well, a point, you know, we're almost there and inch our way to safety rather than take risks. Yeah, Villa have been playing great last couple of games, but Stokes showed a big improvement last week as well. It looks a draw all over to me, that one.
Yeah, Robbie, Aston Villa, Stoke are rubbish on the road, aren't they? Haven't won.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Stoke on the road, awful.
Won none of the last 13 Premier League away games.
That's why I think Villa will win it. I think it'll be a narrow game, but I think Villa will just get that odd goal. So Villa by a goal.
I can work that out, actually, Villa by a goal in a second. If you're betting in play, then you get that winning margin market. But Villa to win by a goal, it's in the handicap market. It's 11-4 the price for that. If you like your bookings betting, then only Stoke have committed more fouls than Aston Villa in the Premier League this season. 398 versus 379, so two of the dirtiest teams, if you like. So expect maybe a few cards.
Robbie, I've got a quiz question for you.
Yeah.
Is Delf a better player than Cleverley?
Yeah,
I would say yeah.
Definitely.
So would I.
Yeah.
That one sorted then.
I got a quiz question for you. Name the player, right?
Yeah.
Who played in the Conference in League 2, League 1, Championship, Premier League.
Yeah.
Played in La Liga.
Yeah.
Won the FA Cup and the Champions League.
Yeah, and play for Fulham as well, you know.
Yeah, let Derek get it.
Then,
and played in the World Cup finals.
And played for Liverpool.
Liverpool? I was going to say Johnny Huizenga.
It's a good question.
It's a trick question.
No, it's not. It's a real question.
Not on a real.
I'm just trying to think who he played for in the Conference. I'll find it in a minute. I'll think of it in a minute.
He played for the Real Sociedad in Liga or Villarreal?
No. I don't think he played for Sociedad. I think he played for somebody like... It wasn't
Levante or something?
It wasn't Osasuna, was it? No.
Not your main... No.
The left-back played for Levante, the kid that was a... the free kick kid from Leeds.
Oh, Hart.
Yeah, I played with you. Yeah. And he started off as a right winger, by the way. And I think he might have played for Bexley, Heath and Welling.
Right.
Go on, who is it then? Tell us the answer.
Steve Finnan.
Oh, Steve Finnan, yeah. Good one.
Steve Finnan.
Good one. Good answer. Good question, isn't it?
That's a brilliant question.
Excellent.
Was that off a Monday Night Club? That must have been one of those
beasts.
No, that
was on our, away trip with Sheila.
Here's a quick one for you then. You should both get this, but it's just one off the top. Who played in a North London derby, Merseyside derby, Manchester derby, and a Glasgow derby?
And he's got a sister called Olive.
He might have, yeah.
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 Imre Berardi.
No, that's Olive. That was his brother, Oliver.
Yeah, that's his sister, Olive, Oliver Berardi.
I know this as well. God, it's annoying.
I'll tell you what, it might even be another derby. I'm trying to think of another one in there as well. Well, he certainly played in a Merseyside, Manchester.
Paul Walsh?
North London. You bugger. How did you get that?
I wasn't sure about the Glasgow one.
Well, it ain't him.
Pardon?
It's not him.
All right.
And Malcolm Allison bought him and paid ridiculous money at the time. Now I'll give you the answer.
Peter Barnes?
No. Malcolm Allison sold him.
Was he?
That one who played, not McKenzie, no. Steve McKenzie, no, it wasn't him. That guy who paid that £1 million for, like, wasn't he the first Daly, somebody Daly?
No, he was round about, he was just before him. Steve Daly, you're on about.
Yeah, Steve Daly, yeah.
To be signing him just before him, Malcolm did.
No, I don't know.
Now, I'll give you another clue. He played in the cup final against Manchester United, and he got cleaned through and played a square ball.
Gordon Smith?
No, he played a square ball to Gordon Smith.
Who was he playing for at the time?
Brighton.
Tony Grealish?
No.
Don't know.
I'll throw it in now. And played in Spain.
I know, I've got it. Paul Robinson.
Michael Robinson.
Yes, Michael Robinson.
Well done.
Any more?
I've got one. Going back to Robbie's one about Cleverley. Am I a better player than Tom Cleverley? Yes, is the word you're looking for?
We said Tom Cleverley, not Tom Cobley. Are you serious?
I don't even know where we're up to anymore.
No.
Did we do Villa Stoke? Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Yeah.
Quick recap on it, though. Villa Stoke, Robbie.
2-1 for me.
2-1 to Villa. Oh, yeah, I remember now. You went draw, didn't you, Robbie?
Yeah,
and
I went for the draw. But just a quick one on the draw, by the way. Only 23% of matches in the Premier League have been a draw this season. So really, draws should be 3-1, and they're still 11-5, 9-4. There you go.
Yeah, Robbie, did you give us a prediction on this one?
You went Villa by the odd.
Villa by a goal. That's right. Yeah. Norwich v Sunderland first up. This one's at 3 o'clock on Saturday. 5-4 Norwich, 2-1 the draw, and Sunderland are 5-2. The most interesting thing I found out about this game is that these two clubs are great friends after competing in the League Cup final in 1985 and both being relegated. It forged a friendship between the clubs. I don't know what that means. Someone just told me it in the week, and I thought I'd pass it on. Who wins, Derek?
Norwich.
Okay.
Norwich. I'm not having Sunderland. I just think they're being massively overrated. And I think there's more to come. Norwich had their best and Sunderland had their best. I think Norwich had beat them. Beat them 2-1 the last two seasons in this fixture. And I just think they're worth a bet here. I think Norwich will stay up, even though Ron definitely doesn't. But, yeah, more to come from them.
Norwich, Sunderland for you, Ron?
Draw.
Draw for me as well.
Yeah.
Draw.
Very good. Let's move on to Manchester City versus Fulham. Good win for Man City last week, despite losing their captain. And shock horror, it meant that De Michelis had a really good game. Suddenly assumed some authority about the defence. They're 1-6 to beat Fulham this weekend. One of the shortest prices all season, and Fulham are one of the biggest prices all season. 16-1. 11-2 the draw. Any chance here, Robbie, for Fulham at 16-1?
Against Dudley?
Man City, at Man City.
No, I'm going to go 3-0 City. 3-0 City. Where's my dog? Hang on, I've lost my dog. Coco!
where's my dog? That should be your new catchphrase. Yeah. Derek?
I'm going to go 3-0 City, Lee.
3-0.
Unbelievably, Fulham, in the last six seasons, they've only lost there the last two seasons. Before that, they'd won two and drawn two. This was at the Etihad.
Mm.
Incredible.
They won one to stay up 1 year, didn't they? They were two down with about 10 minutes left when Roy Hodgson were manager.
That's right,
Sanchez. They scored three, didn't they? No, it was right.
Yeah, well, yeah, there was a 3-2 win about 5 seasons ago.
Yeah, they were two down. They were relegated.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they won. They scored three in about the last 8 minutes or something.
Well, that ain't going to happen here, is it?
No, they've only won one of the last 11 away matches, you remember? So.
Well, you go conservative, wouldn't you? You go because you think the German manager... By the way, that is one. I didn't realise he was the first German manager to work in the Premiership.
Yeah, surprise, isn't it?
Yeah. I'd go the conservative one there. I'd go 2-0.
Man City minus 2 goals. The win by 3 or more is even money. I just can't see that not happening, to be honest. I think they'll walk off.
2-0 got a price at all, is it?
2-0, 7-1.
Yeah.
And 3-0 for Robbie is 13-2.
I would have thought 2-0 was quite a generous price, actually, isn't it?
Minus 2 even money, as Derek said. Interesting one here. If you think that the absence of company will affect them, Fulham have scored 9 goals from corners this season, more than any other team in the top flight, which is a surprise. So maybe they'll trouble them at set pieces. Maybe not. Everton Swansea next. 4-6 Everton, 12-5 the draw. Swansea are priced up at 5-1. You're never quite sure what you're going to get from Swansea at the minute. What you do know is that they're on 29 points. Until they get past that 30-point barrier, they are in definite trouble, because they look like a team, Ron, that could all of a sudden go on a really, really, really bad run. They do pick up points here and there, but not many.
I think you find it hard-pressed to say that, actually. Mm. I would have thought draws, their form... Yeah. Was as bad as anybody's in the league.
It's not as bad as you think. I mean, it's like since the end of January, they beat Fulham, lost to West Ham, beat Cardiff, drew with Stoke, lost to Liverpool, drew with Palace, and lost to West Brom. So they pick up a point or three every other game at the minute. But they could, if they start losing back to back games, they could drop down, couldn't they?
If you think back, you weren't so long ago, they played Everton in the cup there, didn't they? And it was dreadful.
Yeah.
Well, it was dreadful second half. First half, they weren't too bad, but second half, they were
and died. Just played down and died.
3-1, they lost.
Here's one for you. What about Everton to be winning both halves, to win both halves?
They never scored in the first half, Everton. That's the thing about them.
No, but I tell you what, they might in this, but they all score in the second late in the game.
Well, that 3-1 last week against Cardiff line, they didn't do the half-time draw. The Everton double result is 29-20. The same bet that that Ron put up about Cardiff last week, the draw and then Everton to win it full-time is 100-30.
That's far more likely than Everton, isn't it, lad? I'd have said, looking at the stats.
Mm, yeah, that's what they tend to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Now, what do you go, Derek?
Well, there's not enough mileage in Swansea 5-1. A, they don't win enough games, and B, Everton never lose any at Goodison. 2 in 2 years, incredible. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. They're without Pienaar, which is a blow to them. Jagielka's still a doubt, but I can see Everton nicking it by a single goal yet again. It just seems to be the way they always win their games. But yeah, I wouldn't put anybody off that half-time, full-time draw at half-time, full-time Everton. Mm.
And that's what it was actually in the FA Cup match at Goodison. It was 1-1 at half-time and they won 3-1 in the end. That's so that would have landed there. It would have landed in the Napoli game as well. Swansea, you were drawing at half-time and ended up losing 3-1. Robbie?
Does that Misha ever play? I keep reading stories about he's going to move and things like that, but does he ever play?
He's fit again as well, isn't he? He's not like he was last week. I think he was back into training. I reckon he might play this weekend, Ron. I reckon we might see him play this weekend because he was supposed to be back in training, ready to play. So, we shall see. Robbie, Everton v Swansea.
Everton all day long.
4-6 Everton. I think there'll be a lot of people putting that in Accers this weekend. Hull versus West Brom next. 5-4 the price for Hull. West Brom are 5-2 and the draw is 2-1. This might be another one where you really like the half-time, full-time results at bet, because just 10% of Hull's goals have been scored in the final 15 minutes of games this season. In fact, they don't score many goals in the second half, full stop. And as we've seen from West Brom recently, I think Robbie did some analysis on this on Match of the Day, they're like a transformed team in the second half. So you might want to you could even go Hull first half, draw full-time. He gets them in at half-time and turns them round, Pepe Mel, Robbie. It's a shame they can't do it from the first minute.
Yeah, it's West Brom. Hull is out. It's a
Hull.
It's a Hull. Again, I think it's a draw. I think second half against one, they're a completely different team. We went with a wing back formation. Wing backs in the first half were poor. Second half, they were better. And the funny thing is that having a go at my pal Stephen Reid on Match of the Day, praised him a bit second half. When I've got back to the room after Match of the Day, I had a text on my phone off Reedy saying, haha, no friends in this game, is there? But listen, you've got to see it how it is, if it's your pal or not. They were poor first half, second half they play well, so I'm going to go for the draw.
Derek?
Yeah, I can see it a draw as well. I mean, a draw would probably suit Hull. West Brom need the win, I suspect. But I don't think there's any mileage in them backing West Brom at 5-2 early. I don't think they're big enough. Great result for them last week, but they're just as capable of throwing in a howler of a performance. Yeah, I'll go for the draw here.
Ron?
I tell you, a draw. Is that right? Hull have never come back from a losing position, by the way. I thought I saw a stat somewhere where they've never, once they've gone behind, they've never overtaken anybody. Anyway, I'm going for a score draw and Shane Long to score.
Let me find out the price for that then. Shane Long to score in a draw is priced up at 3-1.
And that would suit West Brom, by the way, Derek. They'd be very happy now. If you give them a draw in that game, they'd take it.
Yeah. Would they, yeah?
They've gone to 29 points.
They've got Cardiff coming next week, and I think they'd be happy to get 4 points out of those two games.
When you that bet that I was kind of I was starting to talk about. So the halftime draw, the halftime Hull winning, and then West Brom pegging them back to a draw is 14-1. It's not the worst bet of all time. That,
yeah,
you know,
you can
see that happening. You know, 1-0 lead at half time and they draw 1-1.
Say that again, Lee. That doesn't sound right. That.
Yeah, Hull leading at half time, draw at full time. 14-1.
Jesus, that is amazing.
Yeah, it's massive, isn't it?
For
West Brom to turn it round, so Hull to be winning at half time, West Brom to win by full time, 33s. So, I mean, that's obviously a bit more unlikely, but 14s, I think that's worth a couple of quid.
I think that's a good bet. Wouldn't argue with that.
Next up, Newcastle versus Crystal Palace. This is the penultimate game we'll look at. 10-11, Newcastle. The draw is 21-10, and Crystal Palace are priced up at 7-2. Newcastle, pretty much as predicted by a lot of people, went to Fulham and got nothing out of the game. Seems when there's no Remy in that side, Ron, they've got no clue.
Ask, is he still suspended? Isn't he?
Yeah, he's out. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and you look at where the firepower is going to come from. Having said that, can Crystal Palace away from home? All right, they won at the out at Villa, but I can't recall too many other great away results they've had, even those little resurgence. I'd have to go home advantage, even without Remy in the team. Go home advantage and go for Newcastle.
Just one win there, Derek, in the last six at home for Newcastle. That was the 1-0 win against Villa when Remy scored in the 90th minute.
Yeah.
You know, no Shamak either for this one, by the way. He's injured for Crystal Palace, so that'll stop them scoring. But they don't score many away from home anyway, Derek, do they? You know, nils and ones and nil. It could be a very low score at this point.
Well, that's what I'm looking at. Less than two goals in the match, or fewer, I should say, grammatically. Fewer than two goals in the match. 9-4. I mean, that looks absolutely nailed on.
That looks decent.
It's a massive price. Newcastle have been blanked in four of their last six matches. Palace seem to be blanked in every game they play. And it was interesting, I went for them last week at Sunderland, and it's interesting to read the Adam Johnson comments that they never even tried to come out their own half, and they're going to do the same again, aren't they? Palace are going to go there for a draw. And are Newcastle clever enough without Remy to break them down? I've no idea about the final result, but I'll be putting a fiver at least on fewer than two goals in the match.
Robbie, Newcastle versus Crystal Palace.
Palace 1-0 Newcastle.
You could see that as well, to be fair, couldn't you? 1-0 Newcastle is 11-2. The headline offers kind of say a lot about this game. Luke de Jong to score and Newcastle to win 3-1. Thomas Ince to score and Crystal Palace to win 7-1. That kind of plays into your hands again, Derek, with that bet, doesn't it?
Yeah. Who did you say to score?
Luke Young?
Yeah, Luke de Jong.
I thought you said Luke Young.
Yeah, that would be a hell of a headline offer.
I didn't say if I missed something there.
Sorry.
Ron said he always Luke Young.
Yeah, Luke Young.
Final one this weekend. Cardiff versus champions-elect Liverpool. 7-1 Cardiff, 7-2 the draw. 2-5 Liverpool, Derek.
I mean,
usually Liverpool are short, and you know, all right, it's justified. The second bottom Cardiff and Liverpool are second, but that looks very short to me.
Yeah, I know.
Something wrong about that price.
Well, yeah, I know. They're playing great, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they should win the game, but
there comes a time when you think, no, enough. You know, you can't back them at those kind of odds, can you?
Something, Derek. You've not backed them all season.
Didn't I go for them last week against United? I think I did. Didn't I?
Yeah, but that was only because it was against you, not.
The thing is, Lee, how can you back Cardiff to beat them?
You have to go on some sort of goals bet, don't you? Yeah, or some sort of, if you think they're going to give a pasting.
You'd have to go with a handicap, wouldn't you, Cardiff with a star. Cardiff plus two goals. That's a bit short, 13-20. I'm going to go for Liverpool, Lee. 2-5. But they're 2-5 for a reason. you know, they're playing the best football in the Premier League right now, and they're playing a team that's arguably the worst. Yeah, I'm going to go for Liverpool.
Would 7-1 not tempt you?
No.
Bury my Newcastle went to Hull and got beat.
Who went to Hull? Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Yeah, but that was a dip.
It was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, for some, I know, Ron, I know what you're saying, because I keep harking back to that whole game.
I mean, Liverpool, I've got to be honest, I'm trying to make some sort of a case for 7-1.
But this is a different Liverpool now, Ron, to the team that went to Hull. Massively different. I don't know, I can't put my finger on why it is, but they're about 4 stone better.
You know what it is? It's that funny old thing, you know, called confidence.
Yeah,
Yeah. They scored 3 at Man U, 3 at Southampton, two of the higher teams in the division, obviously, 3 at Fulham, drew West Brom, scored 5 at Stoke. You know, how are they not going to score goals at Cardiff? You know, Cardiff have improved, Ron, haven't they, to be fair, over the course of the last few weeks, but still considered 4 to Hull in the league.
Have they improved?
They look better performance-wise, and they did beat Fulham 3-1, but I suppose that's Fulham,
isn't it? You'd almost say, I mean, I would anyway, that if Malcolm Mackay was still there, they would not be in the bottom 3.
Yeah, fair.
Remember the game at Anfield? They were 3-0 down after about 30 seconds, and it looked as though it was going to be 18-0.
Wasn't that the game where we thought he was going to go initially, Malcolm Mackay? There was a lot of, you know, he was going to be sacked after that game. He actually survived a couple more, didn't he? But
that was also the game I had Liverpool win 3-0 and Suarez to get 2. And then somebody popped much when it scored in the second half.
Liverpool, by the way, have scored more goals in the first 25 minutes of games than Cardiff have all season. 24.
Oh, that's tremendous. What a great stat.
Cardiff have scored 23.
Brilliant.
This is Liverpool's highest points total from the 29 games that they've played in Premier League history, in their Premier League history as well. 62 from 29 games. So, you're going for a Liverpool win in some form then, Ron, in the end?
you look at every way trying to make a case for
I mean, Gerrard to score and Liverpool to win, Ron. 3-1. That's not a bad price.
Say again.
Gerrard to score and Liverpool to win 3-1.
Oh, that's a bet, because, you know, they'll get a penalty, won't they? Yeah.
Well, you know, it's no fluke, is it, that they're getting so many penalties? Because when he was in charge of Swansea, they were the highest penalty getters as well, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's not just down to Suarez and Sturridge being tricky in the box. It must be, I don't know, maybe it's a statistical blip, but I read somewhere it was the same when he was manager of Swansea. Quite incredible, that.
So what you're saying, he's taught them how to cheat as well. Well, there you go.
One of the stats bet is that Cardiff have scored the highest percentage of goals in the second half of games, 74%, and Liverpool have scored the highest percentage in the first half, 63%. So Liverpool to win the first half and Cardiff to win the second half is 10-1. Liverpool could be 4 up if you like, but Cardiff win the second half.
Yeah.
Robbie, which way do you go?
Yeah, that's my bet of the week. I'm going Gerrard to score any time Liverpool to win.
Yeah, right. 3-1.
That's my bet of the week.
Yeah, fair enough. What are your bets of the week, guys? Last week, no one landed, I don't think. I think, Derek, you went Newcastle. Robbie, I picked Arsenal and both teams to score for you at 7-2. Should have just taken Arsenal, really. And Ron, you went Southampton 2-0, which it was at one point.
Yeah, but it was 25 minutes from time. I went, oh no, what have you done, you div? Anyway.
Where we go? So, Robbie, you're going Gerrard to score, Liverpool to win 3-1.
Yep.
I am going Villa to win 2-1. And Benteke to score the first, which I think was 1,000-1.
You still won't be top.
It was 33s, wasn't it? I'll do the standings next week for the fun of it, by the way. Yeah. Derek?
I'm going to go in the Newcastle Palace game, fewer than 2 goals, 9-4.
Yeah, that's that's one of the Opta offers. So fewer than 2 goals, 9-4. Brilliant. Thank you very much, chaps.
Cheers,
thanks, guys. William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.